This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be in this time of worship together, and I want to say a word of welcome to all who are gathered here in the sanctuary and all who are joining us over live stream. We trust that the Spirit of Christ keeps us connected in this time of worship, and I feel honored to be with all of you. I would invite everyone who's present in worship to sign in and let us know that you're with us. If you are worshiping online, there should be a link you can click on to sign in. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row on the center aisle, and if you wouldn't mind signing those and passing them down. If you are visiting with us and perhaps would like to know a little bit more about our congregation and ways that we're trying to live out God's love in the world, please share an email address or a mailing address with us, and we will reach out and begin that conversation with you. We have a few new things starting in the next week or two that we want to make sure you know about. This Wednesday at 6:30 in the Fourth Story Theater, we'll have a screening of a documentary called By Design. There's a lot more information actually in the bulletin, but it's an exploration of the public school system here in Nashville and its history and where we are today and perhaps why. And it's available on YouTube also, but we wanted to gather some folks together to watch that and have some conversation around it. So you're welcome to come to that. We also have several book studies that are starting up this week and in the weeks ahead. And there will be a study on Monday nights for parents, on Tuesday nights for young adults, and on Wednesday nights for anybody and everybody. And so if you'll look at our Friday email or take a look at our website, you can find out what those books are and what the times are and how you can get connected with groups who are gathering around books together during these cold winter months. It's a good time to read together. And finally, I just wanted to remind everyone that our Project Thrive journey that we're on, which gives us an opportunity to step back and look at the big picture of our congregation and where God might be calling us in the future. We have rescheduled those conversations that were originally set for January, and we will be having gatherings on February 20th, 27th in person, and then online on February 23rd. And all that information has hopefully been sent out in an email to our members and on the Friday email to anyone and everyone. And also you can find that on the website, westendumc.org/Project Thrive. And we want to hear from everyone, whether you're a member or not, if you're part of this church community, we want to hear from you and how God might be calling us into our future together. We continue our pondering of Paul's teachings around love in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And so as people called to love as God loves, let us express our love to God, remain connected to one another in love, reach out in love to the world as we gather together in worship this morning.
We come before God as equal in God's sight. None of us is perfect or without blemish. We are God's children. God has freed us for joyful obedience. Jesus comes to proclaim peace to all who were far off and to all who are near. Through him, all of us have access in one spirit to God Almighty. Therefore, let us confess our sins together that we might receive forgiveness and peace. O God, we confess an unwillingness to see the world you have created. We look upon others in judgment and upon ourselves with arrogance. We critique the faults of others, even as we avoid the flaws that are within us. Be thou our vision, O Lord. Help us to see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us at home, you may do that in the chat or with people that you are worshiping with. And if you're in the sanctuary, you may share those signs of peace in whatever ways are most comfortable for you. The peace of Christ be with you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Paul and Jennifer Amundsen bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered without price. I just learned prior to the service that the baptismal gown that little Barrett is wearing today was made in 1924 by his great-great-grandmother and was worn by his grandparents and great-uncles and many members of his family. And so he stands in a long tradition of faith. And Jennifer and Paul, as you answer these questions of the faith, you stand in a long line of your own ancestors and Christians all over the world who have responded to these questions of baptism. And so I ask you now, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to Oh, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. I apologize for that. I have a nephew named Barrett, so my mind went that way. My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? Telp, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple that walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. And what full name have you given your daughter?
Barrett Gray Amundsen.
Barrett Gray Amundsen. I baptize you in the name of God who created you, Christ who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who comforts, sustains, and inspires you all the days of your beautiful life. That's warm. It feels good, doesn't it? Yeah. That's what we all want to do, I promise. And now we're all going to place our hands on you, Mom and Dad and Pastor Brandon, and all of us together are going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's pray. Barrett, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, and if you all will come stand a little bit closer to the congregation, it's our opportunity now as your family of faith to take our vows and to promise to love and care for you and for Barrett as she grows up in the faith.
Will the congregation please stand and face Barrett Gray? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Barrett Gray to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Barrett Gray, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like these other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful on me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all the children who are here to come and join me for a moment. And if you're home worshiping online, just move a little closer to your screen because this moment is for you. Come on up. Good to see you this morning. Got a friend with you. Welcome, welcome. Look at all these beautiful faces. You can come on up here, kind of make a circle maybe, because I want to be able to see everybody. There you go. Thank you. Wow, this is wonderful. We may be breaking a record this morning for the first time in a while. Okay, well, I'm excited because I'm sort of pretending here, but I'm imagining this is a cup of hot chocolate. Do you like hot chocolate? I love hot chocolate, especially when it's cold outside. And I have this perfect little cup of hot chocolate that I'm... There's not any in here. I'm just pretending. But let's pretend that it's hot chocolate.
Hey, Whit, and look at this. I've got hot chocolate, too.
Wait a minute.
You like my mug? It says good vibes only.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. My mug doesn't say anything.
Mine's a little bit bigger than yours, too.
Mine's
but
smaller.
That's okay.
Well, gosh.
Good.
Now I don't like my hot chocolate so much. Because Pastor Brandon has a bigger cup, and his cup has words on it that look fun and flashy. And my cup doesn't look so good anymore. You know, I do that sometimes. I have something I'm perfectly happy with, I'm excited about, and then I look over and I compare what I have to someone else, and then suddenly, maybe I don't like what I have anymore. Do you ever compare sometimes? I think sometimes we compare ourselves. Maybe we have a friend who really does drawing really well, and maybe we look over and we see their drawings and we think, oh, my drawings aren't quite as good as that. Or maybe it's the other way around. We look over and we see their drawings and think, I'm a lot better than that person at drawing. But you know what? We're not really meant to compare ourselves to each other. Yeah. Well, I think God looks at each one of us and loves us completely and doesn't compare us one with the other. Each one of you, each one of us has special gifts and special things that we can do. There is absolutely only one you, and God loves you completely. And there's only one me, and there's only one Pastor Brandon. So I think our job is to just receive God's love for us and be the best me I can be and to enjoy my cup of hot chocolate no matter what. Let's pray. Dear God, you love us all so much, completely, and we thank you. And that reminds us that we don't need to look around and compare ourselves to other people. We just need to be the best me we can be. Help us to do that, and help us to look at others with love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. Are you three? Okay, if you are three, four, or five, you can go with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Maggie to Children's Chapel. Three, four, and five. Five and three quarters, that still counts as five. Somewhere along the way, I stopped saying I was something and a half. Or three quarters. Oh, so sweet, so wonderful to see all those children here this morning. And to talk with them about love. That's what we are talking about during these weeks of January and February. If you've been worshiping with us for the past couple of weeks, or if you haven't, let me catch you up a little bit. We've been working our way slowly through 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. The Apostle Paul's description of love and what God's love, agape, looks like when lived out in the life of a Christian. And so we've considered what it means that love is patient, that love is kind. We've been talking about what does love look like in the world? What does love do? How does love act? And this morning we move along and we find the Apostle Paul describing what love does not do and how love does not act in the world. He says love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. He also says or rude, but that's part of verse 5, and I'm going to set that aside until next week and just look at envious, boastful, and arrogant. When I think about these three words, I realize that all of them involve comparing ourselves to others. If I'm envious, I'm looking at what my neighbor has and wishing I had it. Or I'm looking at talents they have and wishing I had it. Or looking at the life they live and wishing I had that life. There's something in that feeling of envy that makes me feel like I'm less than somehow. Less than my neighbor. The other two, being boastful and arrogant, suggest that I'm looking at my neighbor and feeling like I'm better than they are. I'm better off, or I'm in better circumstances, or I'm more talented, I'm more gifted, I have more than they do. And so either way, it's looking to the left and to the right and comparing ourselves with others. And what I hear the Apostle Paul saying is that love doesn't do that. Love does not compare. That's pretty convicting because there's a lot of comparing that goes on in my own mind, in my own life. The contemplative teachers call it the comparing mind, that habit we have of comparing ourselves, of trying to figure out how we fit in the world by comparing ourselves to others around us. Just one small example from my own life, and I'm confessing this to you. So, David and I have been living in our house since 1999. I actually bought the house as a single woman in 1998, which just shows you how the real estate market has gone crazy in Nashville, because couldn't do that now. But as soon as I bought the house, David asked me to marry him, so he's like, hey, you throw a house into the deal. Just kidding, sweetie. he's no dummy. So we've been in this house, and it was a two-bedroom, one-bathroom, sweet little ranch house. And when our kids were born, we added on another bedroom and bathroom and have expanded it a little bit. And it's been our home for over 20 years. And there are all sorts of memories in those walls, happy memories and sad memories of our life together and our kids who are now taller than I am and all the things that we've experienced in that house together. And I love our house. But a couple months ago, we got invited to go to a friend's house and visit with some friends of David's who were in town. And they had a really nice house. They had just redone their kitchen, and this great island and all brand new shiny appliances. And then they led us to the back porch where it's all screened in, and they had one of those swings that you can like take a nap in because it's so big. And I came home and I was like, oh, Her paint's chipping everywhere. We have 1948 plumbing in this bathroom, and it doesn't work at the time. And I love our house, and yet when I compared it to the home of this friend, I felt less than, and I felt that envy. And I've been on the other side of it, too. I remember going to pick up Tate from a play date years ago and walking into the house to pick him up, and his friend's house was just a mess. I mean, they just had kids everywhere and stuff everywhere, and I thought, oh, I feel pretty good about myself. At least my house isn't that messy. But I figure out, you know, where I fit by comparing myself. I don't know about you, but I think that's a very human tendency to compare ourselves, to compare what we have to what other people have, to compare our success with other people's success. We even compare our suffering to others. I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting with someone in my office and hearing their story and hearing the pain or grief that they're walking through, only to hear them say, well, I know what I'm going through is nothing compared to what so many go through. And I know that at its root, that is a compassionate impulse to remember that there are others who are suffering in different ways, but suffering is suffering, and pain is pain. And we can't compare what we're going through with what other people are going through. Perhaps if we allowed our suffering and our pain to connect us with the suffering and pain of others, that would be where love would lead us. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So Paul seems to be saying, love does not compare. I'd like to put it this way. It is hard to love someone when we're comparing ourselves to them. Let me say that again. It is hard to love someone with agape love, with God's kind of love, if we're comparing ourselves to them. If we're looking on them with envy, it's hard to rejoice when they rejoice. If we're looking upon them with arrogance and boastfulness, it's hard to weep when they weep. It's hard to love genuinely when we are busy comparing ourselves. So to dig into this a little bit more deeply, we just heard the parable that Jesus told of two men who go into the temple to pray. There is a Pharisee and a tax collector. They didn't arrive together. You have the Pharisee who is standing apart and the tax collector who is standing far off. The Pharisee is looking around the temple and feeling pretty good about himself. And he says this prayer that I'd be interested to know what you think about this prayer. It begins beautifully. I thank you, God. It's a wonderful way to begin our prayers with gratitude. I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. And there goes the comparing. Is he talking to God? Is he asking anything of God? It seems to me he's trying to prove himself to God and to himself. He's trying to make the case that he's better in God's eyes, or should be, than so many others, than thieves and rogues and adulterers, and oh, look at that. Certainly better than that guy, that tax collector who colludes with the Romans, takes advantage of his own people. I tithe, I do all these things, God. Ah, I'm so great. The tax collector, on the other hand, can't even look up. He's not looking around. He's only talking to God and simply saying, have mercy on me, O God. He recognizes that he is nothing without God, that he needs God if he's going to be righteous, if he's going to be made right. I have to wonder, what would it look like if this interaction were shaped by love, by agape love? How might God's love change the prayer of that Pharisee? Perhaps instead of looking with judgment and scorn and boastfulness and arrogance at the tax collector, he might look across the temple and see a brother. Like Pastor Nancy talked about last week, and with kindness at its root, having that word kin. Maybe he would recognize this other human being with whom he is intricately connected. Maybe he might recognize that they are equals in the sight of God, that God looks upon each of them with delight and unconditional love. Maybe he would see that they're both made in the image of God. And maybe then he would cross that chasm between them and put his arm around this tax collector and say, "Brother, let me pray with you. I'm with you in this. Let's both go to God and ask for mercy." I wonder what it would look like. Many commentators say that this parable is a trap because it's easy for us to read it and think, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not like that Pharisee," which is exactly what the Pharisee says. "I'm so glad I'm not like." But it invites us to see that spirit of the Pharisee that's within all of us. That tendency to, within myself, to say, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not like those judgmental people. I'm glad I'm not like those morally questionable people." But love invites us in this parable to look at all people as kin, to see each and every person as made in the image of God, in need of God's mercy, one that is completely loved by God, no more and no less than I am. If I can receive that love for myself, to know that I'm no better and no worse than anybody else, that God loves me just as much as God loves everyone else, and vice versa, perhaps then I can be set free from comparing and simply rejoice that all of us are loved unconditionally by a merciful and forgiving God who calls us to a life of agape that draws us not away from each other, but toward each other. Thanks be to God.
Having heard God's word together, I invite you now to rise in body or in spirit and join us for our affirmation of faith this morning, number 883. Let us affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who comes in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil. Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. Before we pray this morning, I'm going to give you a chance to think about who and what it is that you want to lift up this morning. If you would like to share your prayers with our pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under the Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering boxes on your way out this morning. We are going to have a responsive prayer this morning. I will say, "God of mercy," and you will respond with, "Hear our prayer." The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We pray for the church in every place this morning, that where your people gather in your name, you help us to listen to each other with open hearts. Give us, your people, unity, O God. Replace pride with reconciliation. God of mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the people we know this morning, the people in this building, the people right around you, our artists and musicians and Sunday school teachers and learners and ushers and greeters, ministry table members, lay leaders, youth leaders, bulletin printers, the volunteers that we will never know about, our custodial staff and our pastors. God of mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for this amazing earth, for rich soil and abundant sunshine, and all the food that you have made for our health and enjoyment. We thank you for clean waters, especially for the beautiful waters of this area. Make us grateful for your gifts so that we protect what we have. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Reassure us, O God, that you do desire good for your world and all the people in it, and that your provisions are enough. Fill us with a commitment to share with others, especially those that don't have and who today are hungry. God of mercy. We pray this morning for the individuals who are suffering from all forms of injustice, brokenness, or illness, and especially all who have asked for the prayers of this congregation and for those whose well-being we hold in our hearts. God of mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for any concerns that we have right now and silently name them before you. God of mercy. God of eternity, we know that all days are held in your grace. We remember with gratefulness the lives that have enriched ours, especially those whose faith has given shape to our own. Keep alive within us the hope of the resurrection. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we offer up our prayers, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And hear us now as we pray with one voice the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before we continue, I forgot to lift up the things that we're celebrating together and the individuals that we want to pray with. So this morning we are celebrating with Virginia Townley Morrison, who was born January 19th to Sarah and Mark Morrison. She is also welcomed by her big brothers, Roscoe and Charlie Morrison. And we also are celebrating Robert Clark Perkins, born January 25th, to Emma Jackson and Clark Perkins. And then our prayers of sympathy and remembrance are with Leslie Matheny and her family, who are mourning the death of her grandfather, Arlo U. Landolt, who passed away on January 21st in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and services were held there on Friday. Jane Benson and her family are mourning the death of her husband, Patrick Lee Benson, who passed away on January 24th, and services were held yesterday. Betty Kuntz and his family are mourning the death of his father, Gene Kuntz, who passed away on January 25th here in Nashville. Services will be held at Hillsborough Church of Christ at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, February 1st, with visitation beginning at 10 a.m. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation so that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. We invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or chat. For those worshiping here in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us all unconditionally.
Thank you.
let us leave this time of worship with the assurance that God loves you just as you are. God will not love you more or less than God already does right now. With that assurance, may we be set free from comparing ourselves to others and just go forth to love as God loves. Amen.